And I was born in the USA. Yes, I was born in the USA. Hershey, Pennsylvania, and breakfast with Bob.
Pacho Man! Thank you, Pacho Man. We are brought to you by EAS Myoplex, by Polar. We are here at beautiful Four Seasons Hualalai. We're also brought to you by Hoka One One, by Imeo Power Breather, and by Norma Tech. Our next guest, first American yesterday, a man who is riding the wave.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Andy Potts. How about a round of applause? There we go.
Surf's up.
I love surf's up, man. I love is every people have been here for like 7 months, right? Training and
why do you come in so late?
Andy shows up like Wednesday night, runs over, gets his bags, and goes, "I'm riding a wave, baby. I'm just coming in hot." So this year, I heard you rode outside. I heard you rode your bike
once a week.
Once a week outside.
Yep.
Make a difference?
I think so.
Because
and it wasn't just ride outside to ride outside. There was a purpose behind it. And I had 6 hour rides, 7 hour rides. My longest ride was 747. And I think that helps with late power.
Yes.
Late strength. And then it also helps with the confidence knowing that you've been on your bike for twice as long as you need to be on your bike. And right. It can only mean good things when you do it right. It's not just soft pedaling. But
no, you're going hard and you're dealing with conditions. You're climbing and there's wind and heat and all the rest of that stuff.
Yep.
So 40 years old and going to be 41 soon.
Yes.
And a dad. How do you balance all that? I mean, because you went 7 minutes faster than you've ever gone before, right?
Yes.
At 40.
Yep.
And
getting faster.
You're getting faster.
Getting better. Learning more.
What are you learning? What's different this year?
So the outside riding has helped.
Yeah.
It's helped with my attitude, just my disposition has been a little bit sunnier in terms of, you know, when you're a little younger, you can put your nose to the grindstone and really just work. And I would just outwork people. But now I'm trying to work the right way for me and my physiology.
Right.
And for my mind. And then I also had a partner in crime this year take me out on rides, Daniel Brianza.
Really?
Yeah. So he would ride with me, and he's like, "I can give you 15 good minutes today," where, like, he would attack me, and I would have to respond. And or, you know, on his good day, one day we played an hour of cat and mouse together, where he would surge at inappropriate times, and I would have to respond when I didn't want to.
Which is what happens on race day.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that was great. Total team player there. Having fun with it.
So coming here, and you've won so many races in your career, been on the Olympic team. What's it about this place? Because you've done, I think you've got 8 or 9 top tens here.
I think it's nice to put your best in front of the best. Granted, this is kind of silly. You know how sometimes people say, "I want to beat the best on their best day and know that I'm better"?
Right.
Well, I don't mind if people have bad days.
Yeah, but of course, right? If you get the win, right, the check is still good.
Yeah, right. Like, I don't totally mind if you have a crummy day and I get a better finish. I'm not upset about that.
You don't wish it on
them. No. It's not ill.
But
it's
if
not
they have
ill
a bad
intent.
Day, yeah, it's okay.
Fine. Yeah. One more spot.
As long as I don't have a bad day.
Exactly.
You see, if 6 guys had a bad day yesterday, I'd be talking to the champion.
I'm right there.
Yeah. So, but in terms of this race, what is it about this course? And again, it is. The best guys are here.
Yep.
And I know as much as you want to have crappy days, you still want the best guys there.
You do. Yeah, absolutely, you do. I think this course, if you have good strength to weight ratio, and you're able to keep pressure on the pedals maybe with 30 to 40 miles to go, I think that's really important. To have late power,
yes.
is you need to be good at that. You need to be good at being patient.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's so undulating on the bike, the strength to weight comes into effect. But you don't want to do it to the detriment of your overall power. Like last year, I weighed about 8 pounds less than I do right now, and it cost me.
You think so? You're too skinny.
I was too skinny.
I thought Jan Frodeno was too skinny this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
He just looked too skinny to me.
Yeah. I mean, but you go down that rabbit hole and you're like, I got to get skinnier. I got to lose weight. And then you just marry yourself to the
You lose
scale.
The power on the bike.
Absolutely.
I remember seeing Thomas Hellriegel years ago. And one year he came and it was like, oh my God, he is so skinny. Because it's like, I got to run better. So I got to be really skinny.
Yep.
And then you lose the power for that part of the race where it's 112 miles.
It's 112 miles and you're being buffeted by the wind all day long.
Yeah.
And then, I think the science behind it is each pound that you're lighter for the run is equivalent to about 3 seconds per mile. So is that really worth it? Is the mind game you have to play with yourself?
3 seconds, yeah.
3 seconds per mile.
That's 26 miles.
Yeah.
So that's the balance. That's what makes it. People talk about, you know, you swim, bike, run. You got to be good at all of it.
You do.
You can be solid across the way. So for you, in the past, it's Andy Potts, the first guy out of the water. You didn't even talk about it. You're the first guy out. Does that matter to you at all anymore?
I still want to have. I want to be in the right position.
Yes.
I don't necessarily need to be first out of the water if there's no benefit there. I just want to be in the group.
You want to be in the mix. You want to be with the guys who can ride the bike.
Yeah. And I'm so as long as I'm in the mix, there's no reason for me to dump extra fuel to push to the front.
Right.
I probably shouldn't say this, but I did a little bit of backstroke yesterday in the race.
Did you really?
Yeah.
It was that slow.
No, it wasn't slow. I was just feeling good. Yeah.
You're working on your backstroke because that you're going to the next Olympics and backstroke. I like that. You're like, I'm multitasking.
I was comfortable in my position and I was I wanted to check out the surroundings, see if there was a gap, and I could see the Rock Fry who was in the lead paddleboard. Yeah. He was just right up the way, and I knew, is it worth me dumping a ton of fuel to get up to the front, or and fight Josh to get out of the water first.
Right.
Or is there any benefit to that when I get to the finish line? And for me, it was a cost benefit, and I didn't think that was worth it.
So you sort of float in the town on Wednesday night. On race day, you're sort of in the middle of the pack there.
Yep.
And a little bit.
Different for me.
A lot different.
Because
you're at the pointy end. And now you're the guy who's sort of, where do you come from? He's in seventh. He's moved all the way up.
I was patient all day.
Yeah, more patient than usual.
Way more. Because there was more belief. When you don't truly believe in your prep and truly believe in yourself, you start. There can be doubts that you, and then you compromise the race, your race, by doing foolish tactical things.
Right.
I was just really patient, and I believed in my ability to ride. If I need to ride by myself, I'm fine.
You're fine riding
by yourself. I can ride my bike by myself. It's okay.
That a lot of that confidence comes from the fact that you spent more time outside, right? You know, that you didn't feel like, oh my God, I did all that indoor training, and I've got to prove to these guys I can ride the bike.
I don't need to prove that anymore.
Not anymore, right? You're 40 years old. You can do whatever the heck you want.
But always represent, right?
Always represent. So the other thing that you've been doing a lot is you guys are working on camps. You're doing, you know, you and I have always been advocates of how do we grow the sport, right? How do we get more people involved?
It's a great sport.
The best sport there is. And we've got what I call this endurance entertainment marketplace with Tough Mudder and Spartan Race and Warrior Dash. And when you look at triathlon, we're expensive. And you look at the swim where people can, you know, it's cold, there's current, there's kelp, there's big fish, there's people playing the bongos on your head. All that stuff happens in the swim. It scares the crap out of you.
And it's dark.
And you can die. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So how do we get more people into the sport? And talk a little bit about your camps.
So the barrier to entry into the sport of triathlon is high for the cost.
Yes.
And then also because of the lack of experience and comfort that people have with their swimming.
Yes.
And so what we're trying to do is lower some of the costs and keep it viable for people to have it be a lifelong pursuit, not a, I'm interested to see what this does and I'll do it for a year and then I'm out.
Right.
I feel passionate about the sport, so I want to make it more attainable. So we've actually gone out to all of my sponsors and offered the same benefits I get to the people on our racing team, Andy Potts Racing.
So they get a percentage off of whatever.
They do. It's like a significant discount off, and it actually makes it so, like, if you were to, you know, get a bike, it would be, you can get the bike and coaching for as much as you would just buy a bike for. So we would coach you for the year, help you grow confidence, help you start to believe in yourself, and teach you the skills. So we're big on community, we're big on education, and we're big on confidence.
Love that.
Yeah. So, and we're reaching more and more people. We have four camps this upcoming year in 2018. We had three this past year. And it's not one of those camps where, like, I'm a figurehead, and I show up, thank everybody for coming, and then I show up when they leave. I do everything with them. I'm there every session.
You're a camper.
I am. I'm a camper. I'm a camp counselor. Straight on. Yeah. And it's great. And it's helping me teach other people. Because you don't know where that sticky moment is, or that teachable moment is, unless you're there. You have to be present. And so we work with athletes on their biking, on their swimming, on their running, and
very cool.
It's great.
First American, seventh place, right? We got Timothy O'Donnell.
Yep.
We got Ben Hoffman. We got some really, really good Americans.
I think the Americans, we're strong.
We're strong.
We are.
But have not been on the top step of the podium since 2002.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's been a long time. What the heck? Yes,
I know.
You need to do it. You need to do it at 41.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Float in on Tuesday next time. Come do breakfast with Bob.
Okay.
I guarantee you will win the race.
All right. Okay.
And then we'll come to your camps.
That sounds like a plan.
And then we'll bring a camp to Four Seasons.
I do want to ride the wave next year.
Right.
I think there are some holes in my game that I hopefully can plug with some knowledge and just kind of mining the possibilities. I think I can, the skills are there. It's just a matter of knowing how to attack those deficits. So for me, when I did the turnaround at Javi, I was actually ahead of Patrick.
Yes.
And on the descent, there were two big winds that really buffeted me hard and really pushed me and sketched me out a little bit. And I think if I get better at those down, like just handling the crosswinds.
Lionel said the same thing.
It was scary.
30 miles an hour. He says, I don't want to be going down.
It got a little scary.
Yeah.
And enough for me to pull out an arrow and put one hand on the horn.
Yes.
And one elbow on the, that position.
Yeah.
And then maybe it was 90 second gap when I got down off that 7 mile stretch and off a high V.
Yeah.
And we were on the Kuakani Highway. Patrick's 90 seconds up, and he stayed that way till we got into T2.
Right. Then you just needed to run with him.
Well, if I were able to be, sit in with him.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it could have been a different story. So there are things where...
Isn't it funny how 90 moments, seconds, that one movement makes a big difference.
And you see that across...
All the time.
When good sports show their best, it's a mark of a good sport.
Yes, that where moments matter.
Yes.
Every one of those little moments
inches,
matters.
Moments, seconds. Even on a race that takes 500 minutes, a couple seconds can matter.
Always does. I remember 2011, Crowley made a move. Pete Jacobs was sitting like seven or eight bikes back, missed it, race over, right? It happens all the time.
Yes, it does.
Love it.
When you're really paying it, and that's why you have to be vigilant as a racer. And something that I tell myself and I talk to myself, you could do this. This is what I said to myself yesterday. You could just sit up a little bit and put your head in the wind and you could do that, but there's no reason to. So why would you do it? And then I would turtle.
Turtle is good.
Yeah.
Riding the wave and being a turtle.
Yes, sir.
Andy Potts has been our guest. Big round of applause for our first American at the Ironman Triathlon World Championships.
I was born in the USA. Yes, I was born in the USA. Hershey, Pennsylvania. And breakfast with Bob.